Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the postgame podcast. Anthony Edwards dropped a career-high 49 points as the Timberwolves beat the Spurs on Thursday night. This game was more about the intrigue at the end. Could Ant get his career high? Could he score 50? And would he shoot the Wolves from a double-digit lead into a one-possession game down the stretch, simply trying to get to 50 points? It almost happened. We'll talk about that. Also, the Wolves are now locked into the seventh seed in the Western Conference. It's all coming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And today on the show, on the postgame pod, we're going to talk Wolves Spurs. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Only one Timberwolves game remains on the ledger for the regular season. That comes Sunday. We'll talk briefly about that at the end of the show. Today, though, this is the postgame pod, a victorious postgame pod. We're going to break it all down. First, though, a reminder, or thank you, I guess, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, you can listen to this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, now includes YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C K E N. A reminder also about the live postgame postcasts that we'll be doing here moving forward. We did the first one on Thursday night with Shalanga Langison of Zone Coverage and the CND NBA podcast. He was on the postcast immediately following Wolves Spurs on Thursday, and he will be myself. Yours truly and Shalanga will be live on Sunday, also following Wolves Bulls. And then, of course, next week, now we know there will be a play-in game. We'll go live immediately following. It's a brand new 10 to 12 minute show that we're doing now, immediately following every game. So rapid takeaways. Shalanga is going to be at all the home games as well, which we know that the next couple at least are going to be home games. So we'll have a couple different perspectives on those immediately following. So be sure you're subscribed and following the show. And also those postcasts will post live on YouTube on the new Locked On Minnesota channel, which includes a bunch of different Locked On Minnesota sports content. A lot of stuff hosted by Ron Johnson, the former Golden Gopher and former NFL player. But all that to say, be sure you subscribe to the Locked On Minnesota channel. You check out the postcast. And then also those audio version of those postcasts will be on all of the platforms I already mentioned, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, et cetera. So if you don't watch on YouTube, you can also listen to the postcast after the fact if you so choose to do that. This is, though, the full postgame podcast, which means we'll talk a couple of additional takeaways. I'll do my individual studs and duds as I always do. So let's go ahead and get into it. Setting this one up, the Wolves did get Patrick Beverley back after he'd missed the last couple games with the ankle issue. However, the Timberwolves did not have D'Angelo Russell, who sat out with, I think what the team officially called is bilateral hamstring soreness. So he did not play. Malik Beasley started again for the Wolves. And the Spurs, of course, did not have DeJounte Murray. They, of course, have been without Doug McDermott now for a little while. So both teams a little bit shorthanded. The Spurs are locked into the 10 seed already. The Timberwolves are locked into the 7. They weren't, of course, heading into the night. They thought there was a chance still at getting to the 6 seed. So they did have something to play for. And this thing was, I mean, the Wolves were down after the first quarter, but really from about the midway point in the second quarter on, the Timberwolves held a double-digit lead, but they let it slip away a little bit at the end. I want to talk about the close of the game here in just a few minutes. First, let's talk about my number one overall takeaway. And that, of course, is Anthony Edwards. I mean, it's hard to ignore the 49, the career high. You absolutely can't and shouldn't ignore it. 49 points for Ant. It took him 28 shots to do it, 6 of 14 on threes. But don't let that fool you. He didn't really shoot. I mean, he did shoot 14 threes. There's no denying that. But how many of those came down the stretch trying to get to 50 points? I'm going to pull up the exact number. But don't let that 6 of 14 from 3 fool you. He was aggressive in this game. He got into the paint. He got to the rim with frequency throughout the game. I talked about this in the postcast with Shalanga. We've seen Anthony Edwards throughout the season and especially in his rookie year. He gets into these extended periods of time where he really just settles from the perimeter. And he's a good three-point shooter. He's improved this year. In fact, even since the All-Star break, he's actually been far better outside the arc than he has been in the paint. But he's also been a little bit hesitant to get into the paint, to challenge at the rim, to try and finish through contact. And of course, he had the sprained ankle right before the All-Star break. He said the knee issues going back to really January is when they were first documented. He had that big game in Portland, but he had the knee issue right afterwards. And it cropped up again post-All-Star break. He's had some rough weeks mixed in there. But Chris Finch even said post-game, I guess the knee's not bothering him anymore. He did seem more explosive. He had one massive dunk in this game over Trey Jones. Kind of this, it was kind of a double clutch, two-handed dunk. He took off from outside the, there was just outside the, actually, really just inside the hash, right? The hash part of the circle around the free throw line. So I don't know, roughly 6-7 feet out from the rim, two-footed takeoff, two-footed dunk, kind of a double clutch, barely snuck it over the rim. Just a quick, powerful dunk. And that's not something we've seen much of over the past couple of weeks. We've seen a little more of it recently, but he's clearly feeling better. And there were multiple moments in this game, especially late first half, early second half, where Anthony Edwards had the ability, he had the space to shoot a three. Like he shot far more contested shots than some of these attempts he could have taken with guys, you know, a couple paces away from him. But instead, he was choosing to attack. He got Jakob Poeltl on him multiple times. He took Poeltl to the rim, beat him at the rim, I think every time he took him off the dribble, which he should do, and that's the correct decision, and it really, we shouldn't have to pat him on the back for that. But given what we've seen from him in the past and his propensity to, oh, I've got a big on me who's playing off, right, because the big's always going to play off because they don't want to get beat off the dribble, I'll just shoot the mostly open three-pointer off the dribble. And he's okay at that, and he's a good three-point shooter now, a decent three-point shooter. But he should be a better finisher at the rim. He can beat every single big in this league off the dribble with his quick first step, and he's powerful enough to finish through contact at the rim and still crafty enough to finish around contact at the rim if he so chooses, depending on the situation. And he was effective in doing that in this game. He did not fall back on the, oh, I'm just going to shoot, I'm going to, you know, shoot a jumper because I have a little bit of space. He did a little bit of that, especially late in the game when he was trying to get to 50 points. Again, we'll get back to that. But this was actually a really impressive performance from Ant in my mind because the decision-making was so solid. And I talked about the points, the assist numbers, the rebounding, that was all positive too. 8 assists for Ant, only 2 turnovers in this game. So 49 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 6 of 14 outside the arc, which even with the chucking at the end, there were 3 or 4 of those shots in the final 2 minutes. Take those out and he's over 50% from three in this game. He was 11 of 14 at the free throw line, played 39 minutes. This was, even though it took him the 28 shots to get 49 points, which by the way, isn't bad. It's really good. Even though he took 28 shots in this game, it didn't really feel like that. This was just, the shot selection was really smart from Anthony Edwards. The decision-making was sound, a very good all-around game for Anthony Edwards. And fantastic to see. And here's hoping that the momentum continues, even though the Sunday game against the Bulls, I mentioned this off the top, it doesn't matter anymore in terms of the standings. The Wolves are locked into the 7th seed. They're going to host the Clippers on Tuesday. So the game doesn't functionally matter on Sunday. But Ant needs to keep this momentum going. He obviously needs to stay healthy, but he needs to keep this feeling going into Tuesday. They need him to beat the Clippers on Tuesday in the play-in and advance to actually become the 7th seed in the playoffs portion of the playoffs, if that makes sense. Okay, next I want to talk about a couple of additional takeaways. We're going to do that here next on the show. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championships odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The Timberwolves, by the way, were 9-point favorites over the Spurs on Thursday. Of course, they did not cover that. They were up by 11 or 12 with just over 2 minutes to play. And the Ant shooting display is kind of what did you in if you took the Timberwolves -9 in this one. You can head over to betonline.net today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. It's the best way to know what happened the night before. If you were watching, Wolves Spurs on Thursday. Want to find out what happened in the Denver-Memphis game or elsewhere, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast for a quick, really 60 to 90 second recaps from Locked On Now hosts, or Locked On hosts, I should say. So, you know, go listen to Locked On Nuggets, go listen to Locked On Grizzlies, or you can listen to Locked On Now and get the quick version of what happened. It's definitely the way to go. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of additional takeaways that I have beyond Anthony Edwards. Let's just go ahead and talk now about the end of the game. Ant was stuck on 46, 40, I guess he had 46 points for a little while, 47, was trying to get to 50 points, which is the reason for the three-point attempts. He was at 47. His career high had been 48, set earlier this year, and he just started launching threes. Patrick Beverley took a take foul to try and get an additional possession. At this point, the deficits, or the, I should say the lead's hovering in that 9 to 12 point range, is certainly not over. But the odds are, you know, it's 98%, 99% probability the Timberwolves win this game. But it was a bit questionable. And I actually watched the San Antonio Spurs feed for this game. Their announcers were not fans of it, which was maybe not surprising. I don't know what Greg Popovich thought about it. I don't know. The Spurs players, I mean, it's kind of, you know, everybody kind of gets it, but it still feels a little bit gross. But the Timberwolves crowd, the Target Center crowd was into it. Obviously, the players, Patrick Beverley was into it. Chris Finch didn't take him out of the game. Chris Finch. So I think that's just kind of that weird, fun-loving villain vibe about the Timberwolves now, which, if that makes any sense at all, the Timberwolves are like fun-loving villains who are, frankly, inexperienced at being villains, right? Outside of Patrick Beverley, you know, the Lakers game from a couple weeks ago is a great example. And then, of course, when somebody waxes the floor with them, as happened a couple of times in the past 2 weeks during this tough stretch of games, if you dish it, you got to be able to take it. And that very well could happen. I mean, you lose in the play-in, you're going to get clowned. You're going to get made fun of. You go to the playoffs, you get swept, or, you know, lose the series at all. If they do get the seventh seed, it'll be the Memphis Grizzlies that they face off against in the actual playoffs. Or, hopefully this doesn't happen. If they lose to the Clippers and then they're going to play the Spurs or the Pelicans, they've had trouble with the Pelicans. They've beaten the Spurs three times, but this is a Spurs team you might've just ticked off with how you handled the end of this game. If you can dish it, you got to be able to take it. And the Timberwolves, this is another example of them. Like, I don't think anybody truly dislikes, I mean, I'm sure somebody does, but the Timberwolves shouldn't be a hated team. They're fun, right? Karl Anthony Towns is a ton of fun to watch. One of the most talented offensive players of all time. Anthony Edwards, everybody loves Anthony Edwards. He's so entertaining. He's explosive. D'Angelo Russell's fun to watch. Malik Beasley can be fun. It's a fun team if you're not a Wolves fan, but they've got this weird edge to them that, like, you know, any other NBA fan who doesn't follow the Wolves would say, hey, should you be behaving that way without having been there, right? And that's kind of the consensus. And I get that to some extent. Clowning future Hall of Famers like Russell Westbrook and LeBron James is one example. Like, who are you, Timberwolves, right? Why are you doing this? But that's now the vibe that they've kind of cultivated, is that they're these fun-loving villains. And if they can beat the Clippers and give the Grizzlies a run for their money in the first round of the playoffs, this is going to pick up some steam here moving forward. But I thought the way that Finch handled it was proper at the end of the game. I thought he did. It's fine to leave him out there. It's cool that Patrick Beverley's pulling for his teammate to do something fun and exciting, like get 50 points and get his career high. I don't really have a problem with it. The thing that I worry about, of course, is the injury side of things, which I hate to even put out there. But, like, Jaden McDaniels sprained his ankle late in that game 3-4 weeks ago. It wasn't quite out of reach, but it was close. Late in a non-playoff game, to have somebody out on the floor in that situation. I always think of Derrick Rose, right, in his MVP season with the Bulls, when it was a playoff game, when they were up like 12 with a minute left, or 10 or whatever it was, and he was still on the floor and he messed up his knee and he was never the same again. That sort of thing is what crops into my mind in this situation. However, I do think Finch handled it the right way, but I don't know that across the board everybody necessarily felt that way. We'll see if at any point that gets brought up again, whether the Wolves face the Spurs, hopefully not, or at any other point moving forward. Okay, my other kind of key takeaway is related to the Timberwolves defense. They gave up 121 points in this game. So if you're just glancing at the box score, or you came in at the end and you saw the Spurs scoring kind of at will down the stretch, you'd say, well, this is another bad defensive game for the Wolves. They've had a lot of those lately, especially including Tuesday's win over the Wizards. That's not what this was. The first quarter wasn't great. They gave up 35. Fourth quarter was really ugly. But for the majority of this game, the Timberwolves' half-court defense was actually really good. A lot of the damage that was done in the first quarter, that the 35 that the Spurs put up, was done in transition. Either the Timberwolves not getting back in transition in general, sloppy turnovers, live ball turnovers, and also just kind of lazily allowing the Spurs to take the ball out of the basket after a made shot by the Timberwolves and sprint down the court and score and give the Timberwolves a taste of their own medicine. The secondary break defense has continued to be pretty miserable for the Wolves this year. It's mostly a communication thing. And the Wolves no doubt have assignments on a secondary break, right? You get back, you call it who you're guarding. If there's a, you know, you're picking up someone else's man who's got ball, all that stuff that you learn in like middle school, right? They're not great at it in most cases. And typically when teams score in a fast break situation or a secondary break against the Wolves, there's a lot of pointing like, oh, you had him. I thought you had him or I had him or whatever. And the Wolves just haven't cleaned that up. That was a big issue in this game. However, the half-court defense was actually really good. Point of attack was solid. Anthony Edwards, Patrick Beverley, of course. Malik Beasley, I thought, was pretty good defensively in this game, even though he didn't do much on offense. Jordan McLaughlin was his typical self. Jalen Noel competed. The point of attack defense was not the problem. The pick-and-roll defense was a little bit shoddy at times. The Wolves switched. It almost seemed like they weren't literally alternating, but they played a pretty even mix of drop, pick and roll and hedging and showing and playing at the level in pick and roll game throughout this game. And Jakob Poeltl got a couple of easy shots. The Wolves had to rely on the low man to step up when they were playing the high wall coverage. And it was again, hit and miss, but in general, the half court defense at the very least was locked in, was competitive. Guys were talking, guys were getting in passing lanes. There were a couple of nice steals early in this game. The Wolves did force 12 Spurs turnovers. It felt like more than that. A lot of them were early as the Wolves were kind of trying to build this lead leading into halftime. But I was impressed with the half-court defense. It was consistent. The energy was there. Again, it's the transition opportunities. It's the secondary break that they really still need to clean up and have struggled with all season long. And that's really what allowed the Spurs to hang around, not just hang around, but get back into the game in the fourth quarter. So something the Wolves need to continue to work on. Last thing is a pretty in-the-weeds thing, a very specific thing. Jordan McLaughlin, to me, he had a pretty pedestrian first half. He missed a couple of wide open three-point attempts. He had a great three-point shooting game not that long ago, just a couple nights ago, I believe, a couple games ago. And he missed a couple open shots in the first half. His minutes weren't all that effective. But then in the second half, right when the Spurs had cut it to single digits, I believe late third quarter, early fourth quarter, McLaughlin comes out, hits two massive three-pointers, just knocks down consecutive threes. I think it was early fourth quarter. And has a really strong stint as the Wolves are trying to hang on. At the moment, I thought it was going to be more significant because I thought, oh, the Wolves can kind of extend this lead, pull out ahead by a little bit more. Ultimately, it ended up being a single-digit win anyway. But that was a nice little bounce back from Jordan McLaughlin after a relatively rough first stint in the game. Okay, let's close today's show by doing individual studs and duds, as we always do. We're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. This is the time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution, though, because I actually do enjoy eating them. Have you ever tried Built Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best-tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. By the way, all Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, including Puffs. They're all low-calorie, high-protein. You should replace your candy bars with Built Bars. You can go to Built.com and scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be absolutely blown away by the high-protein, low-cal, high-fiber, low-carb bars. Most Built Bars have just 130 calories, 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar and only 4 net carbs, plus 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which often has 240-plus calories, 30-plus grams of sugar, and dozens or more net carbs. There's tons of delicious flavors. And by the way, at Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, and then they go and figure out how they can make it healthy. And they always figure it out. No matter what, they pull it off every single time. Every Built Bar I've had is absolutely delicious. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's close the show by looking at individual studs and duds, as we always do. Of course, the number one stud in this game is none other than Anthony Edwards, 49 points on 16 of 28 shooting. Very efficient, 6 of 14 on threes. Again, really was like 6 of 10, 6 of 11 before the late barrage of missed three-pointers trying to get to 50 points. 11 of 14 at the line. I believe I saw that this was the most free throw attempts Ant's ever had, I think, in his career in a game, certainly this season. But 11 of 14 at the line, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, both very good numbers for Ant, who has seen those numbers fluctuate, especially the rebounds. But obviously, and you would take eight assists and 6 rebounds or anything in that vicinity for him at any point in the season. One steal, just 2 turnovers in the game for Anthony Edwards, played a game high 39 minutes. In fact, nobody else in the Wolves played more than 33 minutes. So a significant court time for Anthony Edwards in this one. In addition to Ant, another stud of the game for me, it's got to be Karl Anthony Towns. He obviously did struggle with foul trouble. Didn't talk about that all in takeaways. I'm kind of exhausted, frankly, talking about Karl Anthony Towns and the officials. I just have a feeling it's going to be a thing, obviously, in the play-in and in the playoffs. But 21 and 13 for Cat, 3 assists, just 2 turnovers in 33 minutes, which is pretty good for him. He did have the 5 fouls, which is what limited his playing time a little bit. 7 of 18 shooting, not his most efficient night, although he was 4 of 7 outside the arc. 3 of 5 at the line. I can't get away from this. I got to say a couple things. One, at least 3 of his 5 fouls weren't fouls. They weren't. The others were. And he complained on every single one of them. So that's maybe the best way to handle this, right? Of Towns' 5 fouls, he was absolutely right on 3 of them. He was not foul, or he did not commit a foul. He got hammered a bunch on the other end of the floor. He's got a legit gripe. The other 2 fouls, he committed a foul and he still complained. So that means 5 out of 5 times he's complaining. And this is an every night occurrence for Karl Anthony Towns. The officials get tired of it. And I don't think he gets a fair whistle. And that's partly on him. Now, is it fair? No. That's not how this should work. It shouldn't matter. There shouldn't be a bias. But I think there's an unconscious bias, if anything else, because he can't leave it alone. Right? Now, it's absurd to me that he shot the ball 18 times in this game, 11 of which were 2-point attempts, all of which, except for one, were in the paint. I think he had one kind of Dirk fadeaway from about 16, 18 feet, top of the circle-ish, or a little beyond the free throw line. So what? He shot 10 shots in the paint and only attempted 5 free throws. And that means he was, what, 3 of 10 in the paint shooting? Something doesn't add up there. He definitely should have gotten to the line more often. But still, and I have to mention the flagrant foul. If you missed it, I'm sure you can find it. He got called for a flagrant foul for a kickout again. This was even worse than the first one. I have no idea. I had to try and explain it to my son. I don't know why that was a foul. They said he kicked him in the shin. I mean, like, he wasn't intentionally kicking him in the shin. The legislation of intent that all of a sudden is now happening on these replays is absolutely mind-boggling, completely bogus. It should not happen. I just don't understand. It's not basketball. Turns out when you shoot a fadeaway, you have to maintain your balance somehow. And like, are fadeaways illegal now? You can't kick your legs out at all to maintain your balance when you shoot a fadeaway? I don't understand. It makes no sense. Every video game animation of all time showing a player shooting a fadeaway has them kicking their legs out. That's maybe the easiest way to think about it. I just don't know why it's a foul because somebody happens to be standing there as you're shooting your shot. You have the right to the space. You have the right to shoot the basketball with a normal shooting motion, which kicking your leg out on a fadeaway is. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. I'm done with it. He had a good game. Regardless of the foul trouble, the officiating stuff, Cat had a good game. That's 2 of your studs, Ant and Karl Anthony Towns. The third one for me is Jaden McDaniels. A really good game for Jaden. He only played 15 minutes on Tuesday in his return from missing 9 games with the ankle sprain and did look a little rusty. He had 10 points in 21 minutes, 4 of 6 shooting, knocked down a pair of threes in quick succession. That was, second quarter, I guess. He hit a couple of threes, again, as the Wolves were building their lead. By the way, they built a decent chunk of this lead with mostly bench players on the floor. This was, I guess they were only up, 7 at halftime, but they took back the lead and built a multi-possession lead with these bench guys on the floor. And Jaden McDaniels was a big part of that. 10 points, 4 rebounds, in 21 minutes. Decent defense. I mean, Keldon Johnson scored 20, but it took him 15 shots to do it. And he was much better against the Wolves last time around. Devin Vassell had a good game, but it was a lot of catch and shoot threes. Four of his six made shots were three-pointers. So all that to say, a solid performance from Jaden McDaniels. Good to see him back and playing well. And that 15 minutes restriction lasted one game, apparently. Duds in this game for the Wolves. I'll give two out. Taurean Prince, quiet game, one of the worst games. This was reminiscent of Taurean in December. He committed five personal fouls in 9 minutes, managed to shoot the ball three times, all three-point attempts, missed all of them, had one rebound, no assists, no steals, no blocks. It was a Timberwolves worst, minus 11 in the plus-minus column in this game in just 9 minutes. Not a good game for Taurean, obviously not the norm for him either. Naz Reid also had a bit of a tough game, 15 minutes, one of six shooting, one of four outside the arc, launched a lot of above the break threes, only made one of them by a lot. I mean, four. I just said that. He launched four, made one of them. Above the break threes, not his forte, but he keeps shooting them. Three rebounds and two assists for Naz. He committed three fouls in 15 minutes. Not his best game, but hey, the Wolves won. Ant got his 49, and they did their part towards trying to get to the sixth seed. Obviously, not happening with the Denver victory over Memphis. The Wolves will be the seventh seed in the West. They will host the LA Clippers on Tuesday. We'll preview that early next week. By the way, in addition to the postcast, which we'll post again Sunday following Wolves Bulls, we're going to have a crossover episode with Lockdown Clippers next week. You'll be able to check that out. I think we're going to shoot for that to post on Tuesday, which of course would then lead into Tuesday night's game between the Wolves and Clippers. So pay attention to that. Monday will be a bit of a post-game pod from Sunday's Bulls game and a quick mini look ahead to the Clippers on Tuesday. And then Tuesday, again, a crossover episode, special episode with myself, likely Chuck Mockler over at LA, at Lockdown Clippers. So pay attention for that. It's going to be a ton of fun and a fun matchup. I mean, we haven't seen the Clippers in a little while. Paul George back. Really looking forward to it. We've got Wolves-Bulls first before that. Chilenga and I talked about this on the postcast, which is, again, only 12, 13 minutes. So if you missed it, you can listen to it. But real quickly, and it posted, by the way, late Thursday following the Wolves-Spurs game. But we talked at the end of that postcast about what do the Wolves do Sunday? Do they go full board? Do they play like a normal game, even though it literally doesn't matter in terms of the standings? We both thought yes, with obviously some nuance there, right? I mean, if it's a multi-possession game with 3-4 minutes left, or not multi-possession, if it's a double-digit game, you probably take your guys out, right? Because like it doesn't really matter. You've done what you needed to do. You want to enter the playoffs on the right foot. You have one 3 out of 4. It's that tough question, right? It's like playing week 17 in the NFL, or I guess now week 18, if you've already clinched, you know, whatever it is, if you've already clinched your playoff spot, do you start your starting quarterback? I'm always on the erring on the side of yes, with caution. You do it to keep fresh, to keep in the routine, to continue to build some momentum, and hopefully you can win the game, but you're smart about it, right? If you're up 10 with 3 minutes left, with 4 minutes left, maybe even with 5 minutes left, you start to pull guys. You're just a little tighter with your rotation, or not tighter with your rotation, tighter with your minutes on your best players. We'll see how the Wolves play it against the Bulls on Sunday, and we'll obviously talk about that postcast with Chilenga on Sunday. Make sure you go subscribe to the Lockdown Minnesota channel on YouTube. It's brand new. Just getting off the ground. Lots of fun stuff is going to be happening there. Locked On Twins is going to be posting there soon. Of course, games opening day is Friday. It's today. So be sure that you're over at Locked On Minnesota. You can also follow and subscribe to this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account, which is at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. Again, Lockdown Wolves is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.